I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Luke's Massive Storytelling Podcast thing. Whoa, yeah. Here we go. Check it out now. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Luke's Massive Storytelling Podcast thing. My name is Luke and this is my thing. Sorry, just drinking some orangeade. Okay, so this is the last episode of the year. It's a Christmas episode. Christmas things are happening all around you. Sleigh bells are, God, the soundtrack to my life at the minute. It's no snow, unfortunately. It's the way it is. We don't get snow anymore. Maybe February, we'll try that. So as this is the last episode of the year, I've been doing this show since March. I think we started in March. I just want to, first of all, give a special thanks to the people who helped with the show. So the amazing music you hear throughout the show. I always get compliments on the music and soundtracks. I want to thank Tom Robson for that. He did the opening and closing themes and a lot of the underlying music. Ryan Moser. From Twilight in Versailles. He does a lot of the music I use. And Adam French, I've used his music as well. So I want to thank all the guests I've had on the show. I've had so many guests. I'm not going to read them off now because I'll forget someone and it'll make me look stupid. Okay, I want to thank the people who took part in making stuff, so people who got their hands dirty. Dom, Fongi, Skip, Ben, Matt. So many great people and so many cool things we've made this year. And I want to thank you, the people who emailed me, sent me emails that made me laugh and smile, and the cool reviews that people left me. Got a nice review recently. Someone said they liked that this show was, they said the show was like a creative reprieve or something along those lines, and I like that. Okay, so today, I figured if we're coming towards the end of the year, I need to talk about the 25 things about storytelling I learned. 25 things about storytelling I learned in 2015. Number one, don't be attached to an outcome. Because if you think that your first film or your first book is going to fucking take off, it's going to be incredible, it's not, and you're going to be disheartened, basically. You can't have too high expectations because you'll likely become disappointed. And you can't have too low expectations because you won't put the effort into the work itself. So plan for both, expect neither, because the likelihood is that it would just do the middle ground, you know? So don't be attached to that. Number two, listen to your mind and body and rest when you need to rest. There's been a lot of times this past year with my full-time job and my freelance work and my writing and stuff, when I've just felt every now and again my mind, my body just pulls me into this sort of cocoon of depression, and I don't want to do anything, and I just need to literally do nothing, and I'm sad, and I just need to, I think next year I'm going to need to listen to my body a little bit more and just take the time to purposefully rest. Number three, surround yourself by motivated people doing the same thing as you, who make you laugh and also scare you. For me, this is my Hawk and Kluver guys. They scare me in the sense that when I read their work, it's scarily good. It makes me think I need to up my own game. I need to do more to keep in par with these guys. We make each other laugh in our little private Facebook group and conversations. There's always that sense of laughing whilst we're grinding the gears. Number four, you can always do more than you think you can. So you can write a 90-page screenplay in a week. You can make a film in a week. You can always do more. Before this year, the idea of writing a novel, it just wasn't going to happen. And then somehow this year I've written two. There's always that extra level you can go to. It's that whole 4 minute mile thing. You see one person do it, we see yourself do it, and then you that's your new expectation, that's your new level. And number five, once your work is finished, look at it with a critical eye and see how it fits into the world around it. When you're working on the work itself, don't be too critical. Just do what you need to do. Get it out there. Make it as good as it can be. But then you need to flip a switch in your mind and be critical on how it fits into the market. So just take book covers, for example. If you're writing a thriller or a romance novel and your cover it doesn't look like the other covers in the market in the top selling charts on Amazon at the time, is that because you just didn't look and see how what people's expectations were of a romance book cover, or is that because you're trying to subvert people's expectations? It's fine to do something different if you're doing it on purpose. You just want to be self-aware and aware of what you're doing, and you've got to be critical on that. You've got to know where you stand. Number six, reach out to people who are doing what you want to do yourself. This is why one of the reasons why I like this podcast. I like to interview cool storytellers who are telling cool stories, you know, indie authors, filmmakers, game development guys, because I want to do that myself. I want to know what they're doing, and through this podcast I'm able to do that, and hopefully you can do that as well, so you through listening to this show you can get a bit of that magic. Number seven, stock and flow. This is a concept I learned from Austin Kleon in his book Steal Like an Artist, or it could have been Show Your Work. It's one of those two books, you need to read both of those books. So stock and flow, there is a balance there. So stock, that's like your film, your book, your screenplay, or whatever it is. And flow is something you regularly put out into the world. So when I started this podcast, I was sort of, for me, flow is this podcast and stock is my books and my films. So when I started this podcast, I was all about the flow, constantly getting the work out there. But then I wanted to build bigger things, and I thought the podcast was getting in the way because I wanted to spend longer writing novel length work and works and that sort of thing. So then I stopped the podcast and I just concentrated on stock. But then I realized I was missing out on this whole other part of me. And the balance was all out of whack. So you've got to find that balance of, you need to constantly be putting something into the world, but at the same time building bigger, larger projects in the background. I think it's important. It's something I've learned this year that I'm going to really try and stick to next year. Number eight, keep yourself accountable in a public way. This has really helped me. When I wrote the 7 day story challenges, when I said to myself, I'm going to make a film in 7 days, and I made it public to you guys, I didn't know that I was going to be able to do it. I really didn't think I would be able to. Or I thought if I could, it'd probably be a bit of a crappy film. But because I'd made it public, I forced myself to do the extra hours, the extra work to make it as good as it can be in those 7 days. And this is the same principle for NaNoWriMo on a larger scale. It's just making your goals, putting your goals out there in the world, so you sort of force yourself to push through the pain and get the work done. Number nine, that last one's painful. Number nine, try to work in more than one medium whilst focusing on your own unique voice. I honestly believe that if you write books, you can make films, and they're two completely different mediums, that you can still maintain a clear, consistent voice. Now, some people don't agree with that. That's fine. But this is something that I want to do more and more of. I want to tell comics, and I want to make games at some point in the future. And I still want to do it from my own unique perspective and my own unique voice, because that's the only way I can do things. It's the same with the way I market things. I have to do things in a certain way, and if I don't do things in a certain way, then I'm not being true to myself, and it puts me in the depressive coma. Number 10, listen to podcasts, not just this one. There's so many great podcasts out there and so much free content that, like, imagine back in the day, Ernest Hemingway's trying to work out how to market his novel. He's got to go to dinner parties or whatever he did, send letters and wait for 2 years to get the letters from Cuba to France or wherever he was staying at the time. Whereas now we've got all these podcasts and all this free content, so many YouTube videos and blog posts, but I think podcasts are kind of fantastic. Number 11, arm yourself with the best tools you can. So for me, this is Scrivener. I use Pomodoro timers and stuff like that as well, but they've just helped me write better, write faster. Be grateful for living in a world, this is number 12, be grateful for living in a world where this is easier than it has ever been. So it's same as the podcasting, really. Like, okay, so again, Ernest Hemingway. So he used to sit down and write, and he'd write about 50 words a day, whatever it was, and then he'd probably have to come back to what he's written and say, does that fact make sense? Is that fact true? Is that spelling right? Is that grammar right? We've got Google. We've got the internet. So if that doesn't make us exponentially better and faster, then I don't know what will. Number 13, be grateful for what you've made already. It's very easy to get down on where you are at the current moment, and looking back and thinking about what you've made can sometimes just uplift you and be a nice little pat on the back that you need. Number 14, read a lot of books. Non-fiction books, books on craft, fiction books as well. I actually have been reading far too many comic books recently. That's just what I enjoy. Number 15, you don't find your voice, you sculpt it. So you don't sort of wantonly stumble into your voice. You have to constantly craft it and sculpt it. It's just going to take time, and it's going to take effort, conscious effort as well. Number 16, the work will get done in the time available. This is the power of deadlines in general. If you say to yourself that, so when I had Jay Thorne on the show, he said when he had 2 hours to write all of his words before work, or when he had the whole day to write all of his words, he would normally get 2,000 words done on both either days. And I think that's just because the work will get done in the time available. So if you have less time, your mind sort of instantly clicks into focus, and it helps you get into that flow state because you know you've got a limited time, a limited resource, and you sort of just force yourself to focus and concentrate and get the work done. Number 17, try to work to themes instead of goals. So instead of trying to think, I want to buy next year, I want to be making 10 grand a month from my tweets, whatever it is, don't worry about that. Instead, think about themes. So think about, so for me, it's the whole write, publish, repeat thing. So am I writing, am I publishing, and sort of repeating the process. That's just a theme that I can live by and constantly work towards. And there's smaller goals within that larger theme, but it's enough. If I don't hit those goals, it's not a massive sort of slap in the nostrils. Number 18, you need to do some sort of physical exercise because you will get fat and fast. I've learned this because I haven't done any physical exercise this past year, and I've got fat very fast. I put on like an extra stone, and then I lost that stone, but the belly stayed, which means I was probably just losing the muscle mass beneath the fat. So I've gone into like a negative balance here. So that's something I'm taking into next year. I need to do something about this belly I've got. It's definitely not right. Number 19, some people are making a lot of money in indie publishing. A sickening amount of money. I don't know what to make about that, really. It's just something I've learned. Okay, number 20. A morning routine and stacking habits is incredibly powerful. I'll go into this in a later episode because it's too much, but having a morning routine has been very valuable for me. Number 21, most book marketing doesn't work. The problem problem is some types of marketing will work for one book and not for the other. Again, you can't become attached to an outcome. You've got to experiment. Apart from BookBub, I don't know if you've noticed me mention BookBub a few times. It's a book marketing platform that works for everyone, it seems. Number 22, social media is mostly a waste of time. There's a lot. No, maybe the majority of successful authors I know don't use social media at all, or very, very limited use of it. There's too many people using social media bots. You know, there's authors that you follow and then you get an instant message from them saying, thank you, go check out my book, it's free here. I hate those bots. I think they're literally breaking the internet. They're ruining the internet when they do that. Yeah, number 23. A good mailing list is still the be-all and end-all of marketing, as much as one can be. Personally, I think this will change in the next couple of years, just because there's so many people doing it, but it's still the best we got. We're still going to try and build our mailing list, and I'm going to try and make my mailing list as personable as possible, because I hate robo-marketing. You know what I mean? It's the worst. Okay, number 24. Geography is nothing. This last year, more so than before, my network of friends who are filmmakers, authors, storytellers, they're literally all over the world. Like, it used to be when I lived in Derby, my filmmaking friends and writing friends were just Derby people. But now I'm living in London. I don't really know that many people in London, actually. but I've got a lot of friends in, like, LA, Australia, Canada, just everywhere, Africa. There's a listener out there who listens from Japan, and I don't know who he is, but every single show, as soon as I put it online, I get that one download in Japan. So there must be one guy or girl who just listens to this show religiously in Japan. That's cool. Number 25. Try to laugh at the ludicrousness of it all at least once today, because storytelling is both a pointless exercise in tapping fingers on keys and making up bullshit that nobody will ever care about, but at the same time, it's the most fulfilling modern day magic available to us, and the craft of creating things and making things is as godly a thing as anything else I know of. Yeah. Okay, guys, I'll be back in the new year with new stuff to do, new stuff to make, and yeah, here's to a good one. All right, guys, cheers.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.